Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Just because we started, want to start off light and airy today, we figured we'd give you a little bit of a blast here.
Thumping!
On Long Island's only true automotive radio talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your host, Ray Guarino. Co-host, wingman, the guy over there.
Oh, the guy.
Joe D.
Hey.
And we're digging to some grooves here with the we were talking guitars before the show. We got guitars going on during the show. You can get a hold of us and be part of it if you'd like at, give us a call, 516-572-7440. Or check us out on social media, motormouthradio.com, same name on Twitter and Facebook. And on Instagram, it is...
Real_motormouthradio.
Where you can find, follow us with...
Underscoring.
Yeah, you can see the things we do during the week when we're not here, as we're getting ready to have fun with you guys on the show.
With yous.
All the stuff we get involved with and sometimes get in trouble with.
Yeah,
and,
what are you doing?
Yeah, well, we do a lot of crazy stuff. We don't have a guest today. I was hoping to have something lined up, but it didn't happen. So, Joe, we're flying solo. We're catching up.
Yeah, we're talking to ourselves, as the Swizz would say.
Right.
Yes.
And hopefully whoever else
That's
wants
okay.
to.
We got some. Yeah, we got some catching up to do, some we stuff do. That, you know, in our own little worlds that has happened. And
yeah.
I have a couple of rants, you know, things to complain about. You
okay,
know what I mean?
Well, throw one out there. Let's go.
Well, let's see. For one thing, as far, you know, everybody talks about older cars being easy to work on.
Right.
And you know what? If you're under the hood, okay, I would agree with that 110%. However, once you get behind the dashboard or into the console,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're starting to do like electrical type diagnostic work and stuff like that, I will take a newer car any day because of like clips, couple of screws, and pop it comes off, and the connector comes off. Once you figure out what perverted mindset the designer had, these other things you have to use like explosives.
Uh-huh.
Everything is so physically. I have little hands. You know me. I can't get my hand in there in a lot of these cars without drawing at least a pint of blood.
Yet you do play a bass.
Yes, I do. Well, that's because...
That's myth number
five. The thing is...
that people with small hands can't play bass. Wrong!
Yeah. Hey, that's right. You know, I've got a C-neck. Yeah, that's another story. I get a wide-neck precision, too.
Yeah, wow. There you go.
Yeah, that thing is... You know, you could actually, like, you know, put down a two-lane highway on that thing.
Play Aurora card. We can easily divert to a whole other subject here, but we'll stay on track. We'll stay on topic.
Okay.
What car
Focus.
Were you... Yeah, what car were you working on that gave you this fit of...
72 Corvette.
Okay. Have you ever changed a radio in one of them?
Well, I was in the neighborhood. I'm like right next door. I was in the key to control, you know, heated slash AC control head,
mm-hmm.
which is down next to the shifter, whereas the radio is up
right.
a little bit. But my God, I mean, it's really tight. Things don't line up as well. I mean, it's not like they're not like the newer cars.
Right.
I mean, they are very you know, they are very, very unfriendly, mechanic unfriendly. I mean, this also extends to, like, I've done headlight switches, you know, because you got to get your hand up there behind the metal dash, which and is, it might as well be a friggin' booby trap.
It's like skewer your hand as you,
I mean, like the door cables there, you know, for the, when you, the hot cold and the frost and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, they're nice and pointy and, you know, it's just a pain in the rump. You're trying to get the connectors on there. Usually you have, you don't have an extra millimeter of, you know, you have to lay them down just right. Otherwise, the control head doesn't sit down properly. I've had the friggin' thing out like three times trying to get it just right, you know?
Yeah, not everybody can be like Mark Warman on Grave of Your Cars and have the dashboard on a stand.
Yeah, right.
To build it out, right?
Yeah, Mopar on a stick. Yes.
Yeah, nice.
I was contemplating the Sawzall on a couple points, but this is a really nice big block vet, so we didn't want to be screwing with that stuff.
Right.
But I mean, I had done an airbag light on a Nissan in the morning. I mean, I was in and out of that thing with doing some disconnections and checking circuits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was in and out of that thing in an hour.
Okay.
You know what I mean? With doing the electrical tests and whatever, like, you know, accessible to the panels and the modules and whatnot. I was like, oh, come on. And Nissan has these really diabolical connectors that you have to push forward, then squeeze, then pull back. And then you have to say, like, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, you know, before the damn thing comes apart, you know?
That's one of the things that I've had a lot of trouble with lately, because at the shop, they get me working on some of the newer cars, and I need, like, the encyclopedia of connectors, because everybody does it different.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes you have to be able to do that connector without being able to see it, and I say, is it a push? Is it a pull? Is it a squeeze? Is it, what the hell is it? Is it, you know, you got to cross yourself three times and throw freaking holy water out? What do you got
to
do?
Oh, yeah, no, they are not easy to work on. You know, I mean, if you work on the same cars every day, you know what I mean? You get the hang of it. It's not a big deal. But when you work on a variety of different cars, and yes, Jim, I hate cars too.
Yeah.
I hate cars. I hate people with cars. I want to go home on a horse.
Classic line. You know, Mike and I were working on his Crown Vic last week. I do a fuel pump on it, and you couldn't get everything out. There were two harnesses that converged.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that,
And it was just so tight. And he fires up YouTube and looks at a video and sees that a fellow did what he actually had done was there was a two-wire harness, and he goes, okay, you know what? This is in the way. This is how I'm going to solve it. And he takes a pair of side cuts and goes, snip! I'm like, ah!
Right? I'd be like, ugh!
And we found a way to kind of give it some leeway, and then again, that was the one with the connector where Mike worked on that one. And he says, yeah, you know, I can feel it, but I don't know which way it's got to go. I was like, there we go. And it had a spike, a barb on the bottom that stuck into a piece of sheet metal to hold it there. And you couldn't get it out. Like, they put that in, and then the body went on the car.
Oh, yeah. No, because, let's face it, they assemble the car around certain parts. And, you know, you want to work, you really want to take this apart, buy a new car.
Right.
You know, I really think it's an incentive. I mean, that's a lot of... A lot of times that's when you hear me not wanting about keeping newer cars, because some of this stuff, you know, it's just, you know, what is it, certain Camrys to do a control arm, you know, step one, remove engine. come on. Yeah, the same thing, a Mazda CX-9 to do a water pump, step one, remove engine.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, you know, when I did that thermostat on that Chrysler 200, that one, you would sent me the diagrams on that, and I was like, geez, what? It was like half the car had to come apart to get at the damn thing.
Right.
And we did watch a video that a guy, and it was one of the, you know, we talked about, like, we had Uncle Tony last week from Uncle Tony's Garage on YouTube on the show last week.
Yeah.
You may want to check that out if you missed it. It was a good show.
It sure was. He's a rip, that guy.
And there are guys like him who, now he's doing old school stuff, but there are guys who are doing modern stuff who are very good. And we watched one of them, and the guy was obviously a mechanic in his day job. He was doing this job at home. And again, like I mentioned this last week, you can tell by the way a guy moves, the way he handles the tools, the way
right.
he, you can just tell this guy knows his way around the block, you know.
Yes, he knows that, you know, lefty is loosey and righty is tidy.
Right.
You know, so.
So this guy had actually showed that there was a bracket at the back of the engine that held, it went from the thermostat housing to something. And he says, you know what? He goes, I can't show you where the bolt is because A, I can't see it. B, I can't hardly feel it. He goes, right. It was put in when the engine was out of the car, when it was in a sub-assembly. And he said, and I'm gonna lay Dolls to Donuts it right now. It's really probably not even needed. And he got it out. And when he did the reverse assembly procedure, he said, okay, remember this bracket from earlier on? He goes, and I told you that I didn't think it was needed. He goes, I don't usually do this. He goes, but I'm not going to put this back in because it's not needed. And when I did the job, I said, okay. Now, Mike said to me, he goes, I bet you're going to get it back in. And I said, you think too highly of me. and I said, you know what? In my head, I said, yeah, I'm going to get that back
in. Sometimes you got to draw the line. You really do because, I mean, they put stuff in there as a redundancy, you know, and I've always been a big fan of, I used to freak out when people were like, oh, you don't need that. And I'm like, you know, they spent the extra $3 or $2 or 25 cents to put that additional clip or whatever the hell it is in the car. You think if you really didn't need it, you think that they would have, they would have like put it in there. It's like, oh, come on, let's just put, they really don't have that diabolical bent to their minds was like, let's see how much we could screw with this guy.
Yeah, right.
It's more like, this is the way we got to do it. And if you don't like the way of how it comes apart when you go to service it, buy a new car.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really like that, you know? Mm. They don't really think too much of the serviceability of some of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, and you wonder about that. So the bottom line was I didn't put the bracket back in. And I saw myself. I said, yeah, this is kind of double. I don't even know what it's redundant for because it's not really holding anything. It was just.
Right.
And, you know, maybe the shipping carton was attached to it when they, you know, when they sent the engines. I don't know. It was a total mystery. So, but yeah.
It might be a little rattle or a buzz or something somewhere along the lines. Or like if the motor mount breaks loose, it'll hold it down. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got these people think way too far ahead. Definitely. You know. But let's face it. You know, trying to get your hand in there and doing some of this stuff. My hat is off to you. Have my respect for all you guys who get under the dashboards of early model cars, and it's just a pain in the patootski.
Yeah.
You know,
like I said, everything, a lot of metal, a lot of sharp stuff. It's you know, I know my Fiat Spider is one where it's the dash is real easy because there's four knurled thumb screws that you take out, and you can take the whole instrument panel out. It's mounted on, it's a wood mounted panel, wood mounted gauges rather. So that's easy. But if you go down to the center console where the radio is in the dash, there's a lower piece. To get that in and out is like, because I've had it in and out a couple times when I did the interior. What a pain. It, like you said, it's like, mental note, don't go there again because that's real hard. It's just not accessible. It's very tough to do.
Right, yeah. But sometimes it's got to be done. I mean, my tip for something like that is if you have the ability to pull out. I mean, I'm a big fan of disturbing, not as little as possible when I do any job.
Right.
You know what I mean? But sometimes it just makes more sense to pull out the entire whatever and get at it.
Oh, yeah.
And be done with it and spend the extra few minutes like pulling the assembly out and being able to see it rather than playing, you know, trying to release connectors by the Braille method.
See, that's something that I do on every car I work on. I will take extra stuff off, like a cable or a bracket or
right.
some stuff, so I can get at what I'm looking at easier instead of trying to go in, like, through the jungle forest,
right.
You know? And I say, hey, you know what? It'll be easier to take this stuff off and just move it out of my way and put it back later.
Because I see
me.
Yeah, I see people try to extricate it out of like, the spot. And then when the piece comes back in, they're using the block of wood and the hammer.
Right.
You know, just,
well, get like, in there, you... What are you doing with a porta power?
We'll just spread this bracket just a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you should do that.
And meanwhile,
you know?
There was a nut and a bolt. You could have taken the thing off in like 3.2 seconds. Yeah, it would have been
right.
easy.
But sometimes, you know, but that's the thing, too. A lot of times, you know, certain car companies will give you the information, remove such and such. And you're like, what?
Right.
And then you say, they're stupid. They don't know. I mean, they're just the people who built the car.
Exactly.
And then meanwhile, when you go in there, it's like, I got to take this blah, blah, blah off, you know?
Yeah.
It, you know, splash pans, cross members,
as you know,
stuff like that.
What's helped a lot is the new line of battery-powered tools, like the
oh, yes.
The ratchets, the battery-powered ratchets.
I kiss my Milwaukee every day.
So I'll tell you what, that's the power tools really make it easy. So
yes.
We're going to take our first break and... we're going to celebrate that with the power here on WHPC 90.3.
Nassau Community College is here to support your goal to obtain a degree or certificate or enhance your skills to advance your career.
Several programs are offered at a convenient time on the weekend where you can attend classes Friday evening through Sunday.
In addition, you can complement face-to-face classes with distance education courses which can be taken online.
More information about the programs and courses that are offered on the weekend can be found by contacting the Office of Workforce Development and Lifelong Learning at 516-572-3554 or email weekendcollege@ncc.edu.
90.3 WHPC wants you to know that the Cancer Center for Kids at NYU Winthrop Hospital is holding its 18th annual Family Walk on Sunday, September 22nd at Eisenhower Park in East Meadow to benefit the CCFKS Psychosocial Programs. Every step you take makes an impact in the lives of their children and families. More information can be found by calling 516-663-1565 or online at cancercenterforkids5k.itsyourrace.com.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure and tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
We are back, Motor Mouth Radio, with Jimi Hendrix under us playing With the Power.
Yes.
And what was that you were mumbling, John? I didn't hear what you uttered.
Nice groove.
Yeah, oh, it is, it is. Yeah, I wish we could have just done the whole damn thing, but...
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you know, when they turn us into the music show, that, you know.
I know.
But in the meantime, cars and music. Let's face it, a lot of times as you're driving down the road in your car with the windows open, you get to hear a smorgasbord of different music, you know, as you drive past, you know, and sometimes you pull up next to somebody who's got a good radio station or a good
in the car next to you, right?
Yeah, or a good song loaded, and other times you're getting like and the one and the two, you know, you get the polka or whatever, or some of this other stuff which I can't even pronounce, or that. But let's face it. At that point, that's where you really wish you had air conditioning, so you can roll the window up and crank your own stuff up, you know?
Yeah.
Or you don't even have those, like, stereo competitions at the long stoplights.
Exactly.
Where, like, you crank your competing musics to obscene levels, and then everybody in, like, a five-car radius hates you, so...
You know what I miss? You used to pull up to the light, and you'd listen to the guy's exhaust next to you. You'd listen to, like, what muffles or headers he had, you know?
Right.
And you'd be like, whoa. That's something that we... It's
yeah,
gone.
That's pretty much gone, because I, you know... You developed the you know, when you were cruising and perhaps pursuing illegal activities, you know, you'd roll up at a light and you'd
not robbing stores.
No, none of that.
Yeah.
But you would hear, you'd be like, okay, that thing's got a cam in it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's gotta be a big block. Is that a blower one I hear? Where is it? I don't see no bump in the hood. You know?
Or as you roll up to a car that looks for me, you get, Hey, Johnny changed the mufflers? Or hey, Johnny put a cam in the car? Because you can pick it out.
Right, yeah, you hear certain things, you know, more so than the music, you
That's
know?
That's like I tell Mike, you know, we're at the shop, when we're there later, and I love like those summer evenings where it's like just, you know, it's later, the sun's going down. I said, you know, you'd always hear like, you'd be working on your own car or something after hours.
And you'd hear stuff.
And some would roll up, you'd hear something coming in the driveway, and you'd know it was one of the boys. Like,
yep.
Okay, who put the cam in the car? Like, oh, wait a minute, somebody's got headed. Or some of the cars you'd know, like, oh, yeah, it's so-and-so, because you could just tell by that note. Motorcycles are even easier to peg for some reason. I don't know
why. Yes, they all have their own audio personalities, you know?
Yes, yes.
That's true. It's like, well, I mean, you know, that's like my dog knows when I'm coming home.
Oh, yeah.
By the ratted out exhaust of the Camry. So let's face it, you know, we all of us have that, you know, audio as opposed to visual input as well, you know?
Well, speaking of older cars and notes and things, there's a certain Nova in
the
mix.
I'm not quite sure what the outcome of that was, but
maybe we can find out.
Yeah, hopefully maybe we'll get a report on that, because the infamous Nova, we're on carburetor, I think it's number 4 now.
Oh, boy.
But this one seems to work. This one's an Edelbrock.
Okay.
This one came off a running car, oddly enough, another Nova.
Okay.
And after a little jacking around with different gasket and spacer plate packages, we eliminated a couple vacuum leaks, and the thing sounded pretty decent.
Nice.
And basically, I was just talking about, I was working upstairs yesterday, and the guys were doing that thing downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I was kind of bouncing back and forth. And as I was walking up to it, I was like, damn, this thing's got a cam in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at this point, this ain't no misfire.
Right.
That's lump.
Nice.
You know, and, nice little bark when you crack the throttle. And, so we'll see. At one point though, it was getting late. I was there a long time because I was having so much fun with that stupid, control head. It was going to go on its on a danger drive.
Right.
It's going to go on a danger drive and see if it down to Whitestone from the UD, and then we will see how it how it performed. We weren't going to take no long trips, and I said, "Look, I can't. I got to get some sleep."
So, if anyone out there happens to know how that danger drive went,
yes,
give us a call.
Because I didn't see no mushroom clouds.
No, give us a call at 516-572-7440 and give us a report. We'd love to hear it.
Yes, because you know it's the Nova. You know,
I mean. Oh, we like those cars. You know,
this car is nice. I mean, you know, I have a soft spot for for like those F and X bodies, especially from like the mid 70s. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're just a good combination of
especially a bucket seat car, which is someone checked the box. They didn't go with the bench and the column shift.
Yep.
You know, it's nice.
Oh yeah. So, but it's always nice when you go on that danger drive.
Well,
yes and no.
I understand what you mean when you say that, but other people are like, huh? What? I mean, just by nature, a danger drive is nice. Like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
let the cobwebs spin instead of sit stationary.
If done properly, a danger drive is kind of cool. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not always the execution of the danger drive. It's a lot of times the execution of the of the getting around what happens on that drive that could potentially kill you.
Right.
Really gives you your mark in the on the wall, you know?
You earned your bones that way,
you
because
know, avoiding this, like, curbing it, whatever you gotta do, you know.
Yeah, it's driving like, you know, that tie rod's a little loose, but let's see what else is wrong with the car, you know.
Driving
through
the Mulcahy's bushes, you know, because to slow you down. Well, whatever, you know.
They make, you know, those bushes are pretty good for that kind of stuff because it makes a fine barrier. Oh, yeah.
I've done it.
Haven't we all?
So I know what you mean.
It's just like when the person is a real that they go and they put the put a concrete wall behind the bushes.
Oh, yeah.
Or then you get
steel columns.
That's kind of aggravating. Oh, we got a flashy thing.
We sure do. So let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how's it going? It's Steve Webb.
Hey, Steve. Hey.
What's up, man?
Hey, all right. Hate to break up your party. I see you guys are having a good time talking, but I got a problem.
It's a radio thing, so we talk.
Yes.
Boy. Yeah, I know where you get the Motor Mouth from.
Joe, I saw Steve during the week, and he ran this by me, and I said, call to talk about it. So, Steve, give us the succinct kind of wrap up what the issue is, and Joe will bite right into it.
Right. I'm sure he'll be able to help me. 97 Taurus, okay,
right.
3-liter engine, okay, I'm getting codes PO-135, PO-141, PO-155, and PO-161, heated oxygen sensor circuit.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and so...
I think that's all of them.
Right. There's four of them in the car. So I'm in the mindset, well, it's cheap. I'll change it. You know, so I changed out all four oxygen sensors.
They were shotgun.
You know. So, of course, the codes came back. Checked the fuses. Fuses are good.
Okay.
You know, so I think my next step is VOM, get the voltometer out and get the oxygen sensor and see what readings I'm getting. Where do I go?
Yeah, okay. Now, this is the... This is one of them overhead cam jobbies, or the good old...
No, it's the old...
it's the old style, the Duratec, Duratec, whatever it is, the Romeo or some Ford thing. But I would think, off the top of my head, all right, that all four oxygen sensors share a power feed.
Okay, right.
And that would be the first thing I would look at, because, you're dealing with the heater here. All right,
right.
The heater, certain car companies, Ford... Primarily what they do is it sends power from something simple, like let's call it the ignition switch just to make it easy. All right. Sends it to the heater. All right. The heater has a certain amount of resistance, so it knows when it goes back to the ECM. Ford O2s usually go back to the ECM where they... it grounds it, but it also monitors the amount of current. You know what I mean? And if the amount of current... is not within the parameter, you know what I mean? It's supposed to be like typically half an amp to one and a quarter amps. Wow. I mean, you know, if you got an amp clamp, I mean, that's cool. You know, you could do that. But basically, if you got all four, I'm smelling a power feed. Smelling a power feed.
So if I go to the heater oxygen sensor, there's four wires coming out of the O2. So if I go to the heated oxygen, I should have battery voltage on one side and a ground on the other, correct?
That is correct.
Right. So if I go there with a voltometer or a test light even, right?
You can use a test light. As a matter of fact, I would even advocate using a test light.
Right. Because, it'd be easier, right?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but a voltometer, you could have voltage but no amperage. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a little bit of amperage to get this thing... to get the job done. I mean, I've been skunked by that any number of times, you know.
So to back up on this, if he's not getting the right either current or the voltage feed, you're going back to the ECM with that.
Well, the voltage side, I would say, is more of a fuse, a wire.
Yeah. You know. How about a relay? It's funny. I look. In a relay box, and they have like a little diagram of what relays, and there's no relay marked, heated oxygen sensor.
Ford doesn't really know
what I mean? I got everything else, power window relay, this and that.
Ford doesn't really use that.
Yeah.
All right. Basically, on that era Ford, it would be a red wire, which would come from the EEC power relay. Electronic engine control.
Right.
And what happens is it's a red wire, and it goes in to the heater, and then it comes out, and it's various colors for the for the other ones. But you know what? I don't care about those right now because I want to see about the power going in first.
Right.
And because that's a simple on-off thing, I would use a test light. As a matter of fact, I'm more of a fan of the test light on steroids, which is either, depending on what you got available to you, like an 1157 bulb in a socket with both filaments tied together. Or if you're really ambitious, you get like a headlight bulb, like a halogen headlight bulb from a newer car.
Okay.
All right. Put it in the socket because that's going to draw some amperage. All right.
In other words,
like your typical anybody's test light, whether it's Snap-on, Harbor Freight, Matco, whatever. Quarter of an amp to half an amp, which ain't going to do squat.
You know what I mean?
But meantime, if you've got the other ones, you could actually see if the thing's got some grunt behind it. Now, right away, I'm kind of flipping through all data, one fingered wise here, and without my glasses. So there seems to be an EGO power fuse in the engine compartment fuse and relay box.
EGO,
which is exhaust gas oxygen, which is Ford.
Okay.
Yeah, which is not a psychological issue. You know what I mean? Because Ford always has really cool acronyms. Like they had the PISS for the power steering pressure switch.
Right.
Or the BOO, which is the brake on and off. Uh-huh. All right. And the oxygen sensors were EGO. And I was like, okay, paging Dr. Freud. You know what I mean? But
yes.
Yeah, so this thing actually has its own stinking fuse.
Ah, because, you know, that's funny you say that, because I see that. It's HEGO. It's
heated exhaust gas.
Yes,
oxygen.
It's HEGO. I go, what the frig is HEGO? Yeah, you know, and so...
He go, he stay, he bang,
yeah,
you know.
it's like a... how can I say it? It's not a regular pushing, you know, mini fuse. You
right.
know,
it's
an oddball thing that looks like a heated link type of thing or something
yeah,
like
this
that.
Is a,
oh,
yeah.
That's a great tip. I'm going to go right to that.
This diagram, it looks like it might even be fuse number 22 because you know how Ford doesn't tell you,
yes,
doesn't
I've
write
seen
stuff
that,
down.
And I said, what the heck is it? And I don't know what it is,
oh, yeah,
so I ignored it.
I just blew the screen up, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, because that red wire there, which is what they call circuit 361 on the Ford, comes
right.
to the EEC power relay, which is like your injectors, your ignition
right.
system. Like, if that
and
thing was dead...
Yeah. Right. The car you know? Runs fine. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, well, because yeah, the heated you know, oxygen sensors are there to increase response time. Now,
yeah.
what I would do is... I would change that fuse, and I would half expect it to pop.
Right, right.
Okay, because at that point... you know what I mean? They're close to hot exhaust pipes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got rock and roll motor mounts, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff gets
right.
yanked on. That harness, we went through this a few weeks back on a Chevy van, which is
right.
similar, you know, the principle is the same.
Mm-hmm.
The pipe, as it came down, you know, the wire as it came down one of the exhaust pipes,
mm-hmm.
it decided to get, you know, get stuck up against the hot pipe.
Mm. Right,
so,
right,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know, it's the first thing in the tree is to check all the wiring and everything, and I did. And,
oh, they always do.
You know,
they always tell
let
you
me tell you, it was no easy task changing those oxygen sensors, especially the downstream ones. So I made sure the wires weren't leaning on anything, and
mm-hmm.
they all look good, and the connections look good.
Right.
I'm going HEGO, man. Right. That's
right.
Fantastic information.
What kind of scanner you got?
I have a
you got a basic
launch.
Scanner? Oh, launch.
A launch, yeah.
Okay,
you know,
so those are pretty good. Those are,
yeah, I went in there and you know, did as much as I can and then did my Googling, you know, and I hate to just to throw parts at things. And
of
I was,
course, yeah.
The last thing I was going to go with for the ECM, you know, and it's cheap. Everything is cheap.
Look at the coincidence.
Know, so.
Four stinking oxygen sensors
yeah,
at the
yeah.
same time?
Right,
don't buy no
yeah.
lottery tickets. You're going to end up owing money.
Right,
right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right,
yeah.
yeah.
Well, Steve,
you know,
we get on that. Let us know what happens.
Yeah.
We're going to
yeah,
take
sure.
a, we gotta take
yeah,
a break now. We got to go and do our duty here. But please follow up with us in future
absolutely.
Shows.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell
that's
yeah.
Right. I'm going right to that fuse right now.
All cool. right.
You
after
got
the
it.
Show. I'm going to finish the show and
all
then
right,
I'm going
Steve.
To the fuse.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
man.
All right,
thanks,
Steve.
Guys.
Take care.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye.
So long. All right, that was great. That's good. Hopefully, Steve will get some closure on that.
I hope his ego isn't burned out.
Right. Yeah, right. You know, you
kidding me. When did you start hating your mother?
Exactly. So we're gonna take a break right here on Motor Mouth Radio. He's going to send a message to that car. Maybe it's a message of love, a message to love. Let's see if we can back that up here on
that song.
90.3 WHPC.
This is Rita Monte. Would you like to take a trip to romantic Italy with me? Let's go together every Thursday with Profumi d'Italia. You will hear and savor Italy's soul with music from yesterday and today. Learn about Italy's museums, countryside, restaurants, festivals, and wineries. Most of all, you will learn about Italy's history and its people. Thursdays at 5 p.m., experience the essence of Italy on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC.
Come on, everybody. Let's sing along with Bruce.
Join me, Kim Tracy, for the music of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band on Thunder Road, Sundays at 1 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and on the iHeartRadio app.
coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
You put your life in pain. If you want to be free, come on along with me. And leave the hard-headed man, he'll never understand.
Yeah, life in pain, Motormouth Radio, one and the same. We live it, we breathe it.
We bleed it.
We're stuck with it. Message to Love, Jimi Hendrix, yeah. One of my favorites.
That's the studio version, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, I remember the band, the Gypsies version of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can still get in touch with us. You got some time. 516-572-7440. Get a hold of, talk to me and Joe.
Blow some fuses.
We'll have some fun. We'll do some stuff. And blah, blah, yeah. Blah, blah. But, well, yeah.
Well,
we got our buddy Al listening in the parking lot out in somewhere in the suburbs because, you know, Al had said, dude, what do you do when your wife goes into the local insane asylum shop called Super Shopper, ShopRite, Supermarket? You hide in the parking lot and listen to Motormouth Radio. Which
yes.
Excellent.
That's it.
Very good, Al.
Crank it up. Put the windows down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let everybody get a little bit...
let them all. And, you know, you could also listen to Standard Serenade on this station on Saturdays at 5 p.m. You will join host Glenn DeMilt, great guy, for two nostalgic hours of great songs performed by the great stars from our past. From Bennett to Bublé and Sinatra to Streisand, you'll hear them all each week, Saturdays at 5. So check that out.
That sounds cool.
And, yeah, hopefully Steve, when I talked to Steve during the week, we kind of went in a different direction with that. I was going with, I'm glad that he called to get that straightened out because now it sounds like he's going to be on the right path to getting that car fixed, which is what the intent is of what we do, getting people's cars fixed.
Yeah, we don't want to give you no bum steers or nothing. You know, we want to give you.
We've had some cattle that were a little iffy that we pawned off on some people. You know,
yeah, of course.
There were some bum steers around.
But you know, I mean, I'm used to, you know, fixing cars. Both hands tied behind my back and blindfolded, you know.
Yes.
In my day job. But a lot of times what happens is that you have to spend a little bit of time, especially with stuff like codes, and just kind of take a step back and say, wait a minute, every stinking oxygen sensor blew up at the same time?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what happened? The exhaust pipe fell out and they all got disconnected?
Yeah,
I mean, come on!
Right, right.
But then you got to say, what's the common thread? It's kind of like a cop show, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of codes and scanners, I was on the tool truck this week, and the Snap-on guys are all back from their convention in Washington. And they showed they have a new scanner now. And he said, you thought the Solus was easy? This new one, and I forget the name of it, makes that look like a child's toy. He said, "This
really?
The new one." They said they come now. What they've been doing with their
My Vantage. It looks like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Kinda, yeah. It's red and black. They kind of like, you know, they compile a data from people who do repairs. They said they have 1 billion. Channels now.
That's like
data.
That's like the McDonald's sign. Over 1 billion fixes. Yeah,
that's where they're going with this. And they said this thing is so much easier to use that you could basically, you know, he didn't say it, but he was saying like even an old curmudgeon, you know, who had never used one could fix a car with this.
Of course,
thing.
He said well, no. What he said was even an old curmudgeon.
Yeah, was that right. Was that what that throat clearing thing was?
Yeah,
about?
Right. Exactly. That was an allergies now, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Was that one of them ones where it gives you like the guided fix or something like that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it was named. They had names that were kind of like the Pantheon in Greece over there.
Yeah.
Apollo and Zeus, maybe?
Yeah, 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 right.
Or I didn't see that. They really like Battlestar Galactica.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering where they get these names from. Like, who's...
There's a dartboard. It's either that or they come back from lunch, and it depends, you know, if they had Uzo or, you know, Budweiser or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool what they do is, you know, one of the things you do when you're troubleshooting... Mm-hmm. Is you got to figure out what you want to look at. I mean, even a 20-odd-year-old car like that Taurus, mm-hmm. I mean, there are an easy 150, 200 lines of data.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And you know, a lot. You can't look at all of them because you'll blow half your day doing that.
Right.
So you got to kind of narrow it down real quick. You know.
Yes.
What this does is, I believe it sees the codes, and it brings up the data for you.
Yes.
In other words, you should be looking at this, and
it
this.
It does on the same screen, yeah.
Right. And
you don't have to, because I said to him about flipping screens, I always forgot where to go.
Right.
He says, no, now
yeah,
we'll
do
it.
Yeah, we had that with that minivan there. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. He said, now we'll do it on the same screen.
Right. Which is pretty cool, because
nice.
One of the things you got to do as a troubleshooter is you have to be able to know what it is you want to be looking at. Because, like,
yes.
Do you really care about your oil pressure right now with your O2 sensors? You
know, right.
Or something like that?
Right.
So, I think it's a big help for, like, middle level guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you still got to know, you know, what an ego sensor is, well, and stuff like that.
See, that's kind of where he was going with that. He was explaining to me that that's going to help the technicians who are coming up, guys like myself who don't do it every day,
right?
Who have to call you and say, Joe, what was that screen again? You know, and as I said to him, I don't do it every day, so I have to fumble with it when I to get back and say, oh yeah, maybe I remember, maybe I don't,
right?
And he says, yeah, it's going
to sometimes looking for it can be a real pain in the butt.
So of course these guys are sharp, they're swift. He it's like a drop of blood in the water. He goes, see, this is perfect for a guy like you. We need to talk. I'm like, nah, no, we don't. Like, we didn't even get to the price point.
No,
of
no,
that
no.
Thing.
I got see this guy on speed dial right here. I already got this.
I want to know what the price is, but I don't want to know what the price is because I can only imagine. You know.
Well, put it to you this way: if you know, it's like any tool. If it makes you money. I mean, if there's return on investment,
true.
Then by all means, you should get it if you've got the initial outlay, you know?
Exactly. But then you need the update money, too.
Right.
Once they got you,
oh,
they got you.
Oh, the update's killer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, they got you.
But let's face it, you know, if it gets to be, I have tools that are like, you know, 12, 14 years old, and, you know, somebody walks up to me with a 2017, I'm like, I'll be right back.
Yeah, right.
But you have to keep on top of that. And your customers have to respect that. You know, I had this talk with one of my guys yesterday when I was over at his shop.
Uh-huh.
It's that they, even if they don't think you're crooked, you know, and half the time you're either crooked or stupid. You know what I mean? So
or both.
The thing is that if you don't have that respect factor, you're really behind the eight ball with your customers, because it's like,
right.
You see that scan? You know that machine? Everybody thinks you plug in the machine tells you what it does.
Right.
You know, that machine costs about maybe $4,000. Once you spend the $15,000 on the machine, then you got to spend about another $3,000-$4,000 to keep it updated.
Sure.
You know, so, I mean, that's an investment. So, like, every time you plug, you know, if people go to charge you, you know, I mean, some shops charge like $100 just to, like, stick the plug in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, how come I go to AutoZone and just,
Yeah.
And they'll do it for nothing. It'll tell you. Because basically, it'll just tell you, it's an oxygen sensor code, like an oxygen sensor heater code. Here's an oxygen sensor. Here's four oxygen sensors. Right. What did you really do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a difference. You get what you pay for.
That's it. The parts places are in business to sell parts, so they want to sell you
absolutely
everything you could possibly use. And, that dissemination of data, that's what drives me nuts. Because, you want to do the job right. You want to do it smart. You don't want to, you know, waste time and waste resources, and unless you do it all the time, it is hard. So the casual guy is getting more and more behind the eight ball with stuff like that.
Absolutely, because you need tools. You know what I mean? My favorite tool is still a freaking test light, followed closely by my Mr. Fluky.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I have a long-term relationship with my Tech 2 scan tool and, you know, my Snap-on and all that. But, you know, a lot of stuff gets fixed with a stinking test light.
Funny, you know, funny side story. Last week, I had a wire up. They were selling a lift at the shop that was outside.
Right.
So I had a wire up a 220 plug to plug it into the wall and run it through a window, and I wired it to the lift. And, you know, I want to check the outlet first. So I'm in there with my Fluke. I'm putting the outlet. I get nothing. I'm like, hey, Mike. I said, this. I got nothing here. Like, what's this? Last time we used this, it worked. What's going on? He goes over to the circuit breaker box. He goes, oh, through the double breaker.
Oops.
Oh, now I got it. I'm like, yeah, check the obvious, dummy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can't.
It's a good thing the other half
times.
Of my brain is there all the time, like within his body, because otherwise I'd be.
Definitely. That eight ball gone. Would be very big to be standing behind. Right. It'd be rolling over you a lot, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, because a lot of times what happens, I can't tell you how many times I go to a place in some wacky high-tech thing, and I find a fuse. You know, and we were talking, I think we mentioned this the other day, it's like, did you check all the fuse boxes?
Yeah, right, exactly, yes.
You know, and like some of these cars.
Oh, there's more?
There's like five.
Yeah.
This one car, it was a Lexus. It was a Lexus. It had five stinking fuse boxes.
Oh, man.
I mean, that turned out not to be the problem in this particular case.
Right.
However, the guy's, yeah, I opened the hood. It was right there. It said fuses on it. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay.
And it says there's one in the left kick panel. There's one in the right kick panel. There's one behind the left headlight, one behind the right headlight.
Mm.
And
just to make sure that in a collision, they can all get, one of them is going to get damaged and taken out.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They or, make sure.
Or, God forbid, you jumpstart one of these things backwards.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Because they will pop at least one fuse in each box.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck. Well, you know. We'll take our last break, and just like that, it's kind of like a crash landing in an airplane. And let's hear, we'll have a crash landing.
I love your segues.
From Mr. Jimi Hendrix on 90.3 WHPC.
Shades of faces. Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
You are listening to Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D, a.k.a. the Vultures of Automotive Culture, coming your way every Sunday, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, from 12 noon to 1 p.m., these guys know their stuff. You got a problem with your car? Call in and the Motor Mouse will help you with the solution in a very informative and sometimes comical way. Every Sunday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., you can also check them out at motormouthradio.com.
Not the music I would think I'd hear if I was in a crash landing, but according to Jimi Hendrix,
well,
it is.
Jimi has his own perceptions of reality, you know.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. You have a little more time. You can get a hold of us at 516.
Yeah. Let's hear about your tales of woe there, you know.
572-7440. Give us a buzz. We still have a few minutes left before we vacate and let Kim come in and do Thunder Road and all of that.
Thunder Road.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, so, but like you said, Joe, all that stuff, all the things involved with working on a car, a newer car, it really gets kind of daunting these days. It is.
But
it's easy.
A lot of it has to go with two things. You need critical thinking.
Yes.
All right. And you need the information. And basically, sit down with a cup of coffee and stare at, you know, either the computer screen or the papers, and understand how it works. Like one of my mentors used to drill into my head, it has to work the way it was designed. All right, and you got to know how it's designed. How do you know how it works when it's okay, versus when it's broken? You know, oh, see, the light works. It's flashing.
Well, that's always good to know. When that light works, that means there's someone on the line will go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Dr. Jeff here.
Dr. Jeff.
Doc? What's happening?
Oh, I'm getting the Kia running. Hey, Joe, yay. You remember on the tech line when Jimmy D found that car, I think it was a Mazda, that had two harness connectors that you could interchange and screw everything up.
Oh, yeah, 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 because the Japs thought it was really funny to have two identical plugs. I think it was like sensor and like the ignition system or something like that.
I thought it was a TPS and something else. But anyway, I found two of those on my Kia.
No kidding.
The Koreans are doing the same stuff.
Wow.
So, yes, they've been taking lessons from the Japs there. You know, I don't know why they do that. Are the wire, were the wire colors the same even? Well, then again, yeah, the wire color was grease, right?
Yeah, pretty much, and you know that little protective coating they got on it, and some 18-year-old electrical tape.
It's like,
but one of them, they both come off the main harness. One goes up to the engine to a bunch of sensors, and the other one goes down to the transmission. It wasn't starting, so I plugged in my big dumb machine, and it gave me a whole bunch of tranny codes and a whole bunch of engine codes, and I said, "Wow, this is just stupid." So I went back and I looked at the connectors, and I was like, well, yeah, this one should go here, and that one should go there.
Did you just say the big, dumb machine?
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
Was it a yellow big, dumb machine?
Well, it's kind of a off-orange color, except with the sticker just peeled off. That spot's yellow.
Oh. Yes, so you still got yours, in other words.
So for the benefit of the listeners and myself who don't know, what machine is that?
That's the, that was the old...
Blue Streak Diagnostic... monitor.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, BDM. So we used to just call it the big dumb machine.
There you go.
You've seen me pull that out any number of times. You know, and I've had the thing for like 20 years. It still works really well. I mean, it's limited to older vehicles.
Right.
But it's pretty good in its time. Believe it or not, it was actually the Subaru factory scan tool.
Wow.
For some time, except you had
to have
the
Subaru. Don't forget about Harley Davidson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It was a Harley too. Yeah.
Okay.
Before Snap-on made.
I know they always had proprietary stuff, Harley. That was.
Yeah, I know. Go figure.
I mean, only till recently did I know that now, like Snap-on and the Matco scanners will do Harley, and they advertise that.
Right.
And I know.
I think it was made in China. It just came with a different label on the front of it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but that thing's great. It brings up many fond memories. I still use that thing quite a bit. I mean, that's like my favorite on the older cars before they have CAN. To do when I drive monitors, that is probably the best. That is probably the best scan tool because it only brings up the monitors that are in the car, rather than spending 10 minutes going, "Oh, don't have this monitor. Oh, don't have that monitor."
Right.
It just brings them right up. So it's pretty cool. I don't even know if I wonder if anybody's selling those out there. You know what I mean, on like eBay or whatever.
If
you come across one, grab it. Grab it because it does a lot of cool stuff, and you are limited to about 2006, 2007. But if you're working in that wheelhouse of car ages, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
So how's it run?
It runs like shit. Sorry.
Now we gotta find a dump button.
Now we're gonna have to edit you. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not running that good.
Okay.
I had started it up after I did the engine when I had that bearing problem, and I had to get the crank machine, and I drove it up the street, and I got about a half mile away, and something in the transmission went crunch, and it just had no forward, no reverse. The speedometer was still working, though, so I know the final drive was spinning, but something in the final drive and the trans actually went. So it sat for a while because I got a hold of another vehicle. That's a 2001 Mazda Tribute I was driving.
Okay.
That one decided to develop a rod knock.
Oh.
So I went back to fixing the Kia. And before the Mazda died, I found a transmission at a junkyard in Connecticut for $100. And I said, well, I can't go wrong. It's $100. And it came out of a Kia with 75,000 miles on it. So that was a job I was doing a couple of weeks ago when I sent you those pictures.
Yeah.
With the wood.
Jacked up on wood and jack stands and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's all done. Transmission seems to be working fine.
Okay.
But the engine's still running a little rough. I got lifters that are clattering. I swapped it out with another set that I cleaned and rebuilt. And they're still clattering. I got great oil flow. And I went to check my compression today, and the check valve in my compression gauge is, as Barbara Streisand would say, fakakta.
Yeah. So wait, I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think this through with the lifters. If you believe the lifters are good and your oil supply is good, I mean, where are we going with this? Because I thought of oil supply at first. Maybe they weren't getting the correct amount of oil. But I don't know where are you gonna go with this, Jeff? Because I'm thinking, you know, the lifters themselves.
I don't know. When I pulled out the ones that were noisy, because it's not that bad on this car. You just take off the valve cover and the cam housing and the cam sprockets. And the belt's easy to do on this. The timing's easy to do. I could only compress them probably about maybe a 16th of an inch. And they weren't spongy. They were nice and hard. You could get a little squeeze out of them. But they didn't really seem like they should be making noise. The sides of the lifters are nice and clean. The bores in the head are nice and clean. They got a little bit of polishing on them from the 230,000 miles on this little sewing machine.
God bless.
And they're nice and flat on the bottom?
Yeah, they're nice and flat. Well, they got a little bit of a wear spot where they've been hitting the valve.
Okay, yeah, understood.
But the tops are nice and smooth, and they all still rotate. Boy, that's messy watching these things go with the valve cover off.
Yeah, yeah.
The oil
yeah.
splashes all over the place.
Sure.
Bring the rubber suit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely need rain gear for this.
Do you have a misfire, or is it just in general runs like rough?
Off-file it runs good, but watching the data on the BDM
right.
while I'm driving, the O2 sensors are constantly reporting lean. It's going to plus 20 on long and short-term fuel trims. Adding propane makes it run a lot better.
Okay.
So I got my old carbureted propane enrichment tool out with my bottle of propane.
Right.
And I couldn't find any air leaks at all. But after sitting for 2 years, the gas that was in the tank, which I also had to change because it fell off the jack stand. It fell off the jack stands onto the jack.
It was trying to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Get me the hell out of here. It split the seam in the gas tank, so I got a new gas tank.
Yipes. You look at the injectors lately?
Haven't looked at the injectors. They're going to be next.
Okay.
Luckily, I have another 2001. The injectors are right up on top. It's about 20 minutes to yank out the rail.
Right.
So I might try swapping it out.
Because
air flow sensor went bad while
up.
It was sitting.
Okay, yeah.
So I got myself a $15 mass airflow sensor from the internet, which is nice.
The interweb. Yeah, okay.
I gotta love the internet.
Well, if you're that freaking lean, I mean, you know, and your plugs are not like whack, meaning that like your O2 signal is out to launch, I would think about the injectors. I mean, just because the car's been sitting, and God only knows what's in the tank.
Yeah.
Ray and I were just talking about the makeup of
new
gas.
And the gas is new.
Oh, okay.
And I even tried some Tecron. I know you like that.
Yeah.
Tecron's good stuff, but...
Startron also.
Foam,
yeah.
Tried some Berryman because it was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
None of that stuff seemed to help. These injectors don't spray in the mist. They got two nozzles at the end, and they spray into the two valve ports. Like a stream. They're pretty easy to check the pattern.
Okay.
And I got a bunch of test tubes so I can check volume. I got to fix my injector tester, though, the little connector came off the end of that.
Oh, yeah, the little gazunter there that you can fire them, see what they drop. Yeah. That's not a bad idea because, let's face it, you know, it could very well be a fuel issue if it likes carburetor cleaner.
All right, Jeff, listen, we're going to have to run because we're getting to the end of the show.
All right, man.
And keep
right, good talking to you. Love your show, guys.
Keep us
Thank
up to
you.
Date on that, please.
Yeah, by all means.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Right.
I guess he bugged out a little early. Okay, good.
All right. This just in from the out of limits there. The hell ride went okay.
Ah, nice.
Yes, because we were running out of time there, so
yes.
But it went okay, and my congratulations and felicitations, and God bless the Nova.
Excellent. I love to hear that. That's great.
Congratulations, guys.
Very good. That's cool. So we are coming to the end of the show, Joe.
We fried another round, man.
We got less than a minute. Next week, it's Labor Day already. Jeez, where'd the sun
go? Come on.
So we'll come back and do our laborious show on Labor Day.
Yes, we will be laboring.
And then the week after that, we're going to be at the Malba show.
Yeah.
We will not be live. We're going to be preempted
you
by
call
some.
This living.
Yeah, we're going to be preempted by some football special. But we'll be at the Malba show doing interviews and recording it to be played back the following week.
Yeah, so be on your best behavior because it will be recorded, and
yeah.
There'll be no dump button for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, that's actually better. So we bring it back, we can edit it heavily if we need.
Don't tell them that.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, that's good. So yeah, and then we'll come back and do our. Then 2 weeks after that. in the middle of September, we're going to be at the Tobey Beach show.
Yes.
We're going to be doing...
Tobey Beach.
Right. We'll be
round
doing...
two. This time it's personal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We got more crap going on.
And keep it where you got it. And listen for Kim and Thunder Road.
On WHPC.
90.3.
Bye.
See ya.